Well, Governor Dunleavy proposed budget cuts today that could completely remake Alaska's government and its education, healthcare, and transportation systems. But Dunleavy's power to reduce Alaska's budget only goes so far. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports on some of the legal and political obstacles that stand between the governor and his goal of a balanced budget.
You might think it's pretty straightforward for Alaska's chief executive to cut the state budget, but turns out it's not. Alaska state government is a complex thicket of programs and services, each with its own set of constituencies. The legislature also has its own budgeting powers, and some of the programs offered by the state require changes to laws or regulations before they can be cut back. Take Medicaid, for example. Dunleavy is proposing to cut more than $750 million, or 33%, from the state federal health care program. But he hasn't said specifically how he's going to do that, like whether he wants to pay lower rates to healthcare providers, for example, or cut off access to care for certain groups of Alaskans. Becky Hultberg runs an industry group that represents hospitals and nursing homes.
Some things will require statute change, but not everything. Like healthcare in general, Medicaid is complex, and his ability to enact these changes will really depend on what the cuts are. And we don't know what the cuts are.
Depending on what exactly Dunleavy proposes, his plan could require federal regulators to approve it. Or the state legislature might need to change Medicaid laws. And there's no guarantee that the Trump administration or the legislature will sign off. Meanwhile, Dunleavy is also proposing to close a huge chunk of Alaska's $1.6 billion budget gap by boosting state tax revenue. The state would take the revenue, about $400 million worth, away from cities and boroughs that already collect it from property taxes that they levy on oil and gas infrastructure. But before Dunleavy can take that step, lawmakers would have to pass a bill to eliminate the cities and boroughs' taxing powers. Each of those municipalities has a state representative and a senator representing them, and the one that would be most affected, the North Slope Borough, has four lobbyists in Juneau. Nils Andreasen leads a coalition of municipalities.
You're talking about some of the wealthiest and greatest contributors to economic development in the state. My sense is that they'll have a very big impact on how this is able to move forward or not.
Programs that aren't backstopped by specific laws or federal requirements, however, can be more easily reduced. One of those is public broadcasting. Dunleavy is proposing to completely eliminate the $2.5 million that the state sets aside for radio and TV. Advocates for programs like that are already strategizing about how they can rally state lawmakers to their defense. But veteran observers of the budget process are looking forward to Dunleavy's trump card over the legislature, his authority to line item veto money from individual programs. That veto power is balanced by lawmakers' own ability to override Dunleavy's veto. But doing that requires a 3/4 supermajority vote. Greg Erickson is an economist who used to publish a weekly Alaska budget newsletter, and he says that 3/4 vote is a hard bar to clear.
The constitutional structure in Alaska gives the governor unprecedented power as far as other states are concerned. That's going to be difficult to ensure for certain that you have the 3/4 votes necessary to push the money, the appropriations out over the governor's veto objections.
Erickson says he expects Dunleavy to use his veto power to make good on his budget-cutting objectives. And he suggests that anyone who opposes them should be looking to their legislators for support. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.